So it's been typical for us to take a few moments and try to form an initial impression about a new justice during his or her first term on the court. It seems obviously appropriate to do that again here with Justice Barrett. And I should say, you know, we try to give you a numerical or high level perspective on where things are shaking out. These numbers on the slide should be taken with, I think, with a big grain of salt. Justice Barrett didn't participate in about a dozen of the court's merits decisions because they had been argued before she took the bench, before she was confirmed and took the bench. And so, you know, our numbers are thinner than they would be if we had kind of a full term. But you know, we'll see if we can glean anything from that nonetheless. So we have only three majority opinions authored by Justice Barrett. If you want to read her full entire workload, now's the time before it gets bigger. The Sierra Club case is a Freedom of Information Act case. Florida v. Georgia is an original jurisdiction, often low-hanging fruit for a junior justice writing assignment. And then Van Buren is probably the most interesting of her decisions, both in terms of the lineup of voting and the subject matter. It has to do with the scope of the federal law, a federal law governing access, sort of hacking, computer hacking, essentially. And we'll talk about that case a little more later. We do try to look at voting lineups and degree of agreement. This information on the slide is, again, out of date a little bit. We had a case handed down yesterday that had an interesting lineup. And so I'll give you where we are, as I understand it today. Top degree of agreement for Justice Barrett is 97% with Justices Gorsuch and Thomas, followed then by the Chief Justice and Justice Kavanaugh at 94%. There's a typo on the slide that 79% is not accurate, is a high degree of alignment with the Chief. And then 93% Justice Alito, followed by 74, 71, and 65, Kagan, Breyer, and Justice Sotomayor turn. So what to make of that? One thing is there's a lot of focus on the sharply divided cases in popular press and reporting on the court. But, you know, even if you take the delta for the justice that Justice Barrett disagreed with most often, that's Justice Sotomayor, you're still seeing agreement two-thirds of the time. And I think you see that in part in the degree of unanimity, the number of, you know, decisions that are handed down unanimously or unanimously in judgment. And one reason for the changing of the numbers from earlier this week was yesterday's decision in Borden, which is an Armed Career Criminal Act case, so a federal sentencing enhancement law with an interesting lineup. There we had a plurality of Justice Kagan, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Gorsuch. Justice Thomas was the swing vote, concurring in the judgment, and then a four-justice dissent, Kavanaugh, Roberts, Alito, and Barrett. So even though we had Justice Gorsuch, you know, earlier this week at 100% agreement, they've now diverged in that case. No authored dissents yet from Justice Barrett. And if you want to give a comparison, that the numbers aren't perfectly fair because those are full-term numbers for Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Kagan at the bottom of the slide. But you can see, you know, a typical justice's debut term, you'll have certain number of majority opinions, sometimes sharply divided, but often, you know, more with a little bit of a heavier weighting towards unanimous decisions. And then often some dissents. We haven't seen that yet from Justice Barrett. So one, I think probably the most interesting of her decisions to date is the Van Buren case. And as I said, that's a case that involved a prosecution of a police officer who used his credentials, his login credentials, to access a law enforcement database and essentially to run a license plate for a friend who was paying him to do that. Unfortunately for that officer, it was a sting, and he got prosecuted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which is a somewhat older statute, but it criminalizes access of a computer, somebody who accesses a computer with authorization and uses such access to obtain information in the computer that the accessor is not entitled to so obtain or alter. So the crux of the case was, the officer had login credentials and was allowed to access this database for his job, but he wasn't supposed to use it for the reason he did. And his department had a policy against doing that. So by a 6-3 vote, with Justice Barrett writing the majority opinion, the court held that this statute did not cover that conduct because he was authorized to access that computer and authorizes to access that license-based database as part of his official duties, even if the actions in this case violated a policy of the department. And I think the details are probably not material for our purposes, except to say, when you look at the opinions with Justice Barrett in the majority and Justice Thomas writing the dissent, they really are an exercise in dueling textualism, very closely tied to the grammar and syntax of the statute, the structure of the statute, sort of meat and potatoes of modern statutory interpretation. But one interesting lens, I think, to look at the opinion through is a section of the majority opinion that says, it talks about policy implications and why the government's position that the statute should apply to this kind of conduct was troubling to the majority. The majority, quoting from Justice Kagan, called this extra frosting on a cake that was already frosted or something to that effect, meaning it wasn't essential to their decision. But they talked about how the government's view would essentially criminalize millions of people, otherwise law-abiding citizens. So, for instance, if you access your personal email on a work computer and your employer has a policy against, saying your computer should only be used for work purposes, or somebody who embellishes an online dating profile or uses a pseudonym on Facebook.